Well, Pastor Tim Klein is, again, from Pennsylvania. Yeah, near Pittsburgh. And I know Vincent's happy to hear that. And we've just, we've known Tim for, gosh, it's been over 10 years or so. Tim, I'll just tell you a little bit about him. He was involved on staff with Teen Challenge, actually, right? On staff with Teen Challenge for several years. So he has a heart for people of every kind of place and every kind of situation. And then started pastoring after that. And we met him and just instantly hit it off and went to his church. And he has a place that just really reaches out to his community in ways that I just admire so much and respect and love and appreciate how well he reaches his people around him. Only a good way to you have to have a good reason to visit. Well, I'm going to give you a good reason to visit other than that. They have the best Italian cooking in the world at Tim's church. So if you go there, make sure you go, because they'll have food there no matter what. So when you go there to spend time with them, not only are they just warm and receptive, but you will eat really good food. So can we welcome Pastor Tim Klein here? And thank you.
You know what? Open those blinds. Somebody on that side, open those blinds a minute. When we were worshiping John, Pastor John, Brother John, them two guys are my family. I want to ask you, what do you see? There we go. What do you see when you look out the windows? Light? What else? Trees? What else? Leaves? Creation? What else? Birds? Fresh air? Does that boat run, brother? Let me tell you, when you're worshiping, what I've seen. When Prophet Frank said, I went to Crack Alley in Newcastle. And the guys from Detroit come around our church to sell drugs to our kids in the city and to our teenagers and to the adults with addiction problems. But God didn't just bring addicted people. He brought middle class people. He brought business owners to our church. He brought people from all walks of life, economically, financially, color-wise, into that area to do the work. When we were praising God, I looked and God said to ask them what they see. And he gave me a picture. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Out of Mark, I asked the prophet, look it up. Remember when Jesus had the blind man? He spit in the mud, wiped his eyes. The man opened his eyes and he asked him, what do you see? He said, I'm not sure, but I think I see trees. He waited a moment. He said, ask him again. He said, I see men as trees walking. When I came by yesterday to meet with your wife, I tell you what I feel. It was like driving up to the maternity ward. It was like feeling birth pains. When I look out there, I have no ground in my church. It's concrete driveways, alleyways, and ghetto. My God, I see cookouts with bikers. I see music going out of these four walls. I see support groups. I see crusades on this property. I see restoration. I see peace. Somebody said peace and quiet. We don't have this in the hood. We don't have this atmosphere. We're not blessed. I wish I did. We block streets down when we do bikers. Our last bikers, we have 75 bikers. We have police escort. We have pig roast in the parking lot. We invited the whole city to come up and eat. We had things the kids were jumping on and face painting. And Landon, who will be here tonight. Well, no, they know Landon though, right? We had Landon in. We cranked open the windows. And man, he was doing his Stairway to Heaven. We baptized 13 new people last Sunday morning. But vision. What do you see? What's your ministry? What's God calling you to do? I'm a delegator because I was a coach. Everybody plays, everybody participates. I believe in fivefold. I came out of an organization that didn't believe in fivefold. And I understand a pastor, a musician, a prophet. These guys have been in my church for the last 15 years and have helped raise up a people. And now our people see. When they see trees, they see people. They see opportunities. They see ministry. They see the ability to take their gift, their purpose, and their destiny, and their calling out. Hey, come on our grounds. We don't have grass, but we have a parking lot. We shut down the whole block. We got people now that know the mayors. They shut down the street. We got police escorts when we do an outreach. Only because... yeah, I see a crack house. I see heroin, which is killing our country. But what do I really see? I see men and women of God. I see a life that needs to be restored. I see a heart that was created for purpose and destiny. The devil comes as the accuser of the brethren. Jesus comes as the encourager. I could feel like an incubator. God's haven't overlooked any of us. But sometimes the birth pains last longer than 9 months. Got to the point where I had a for sale sign when I got home. I said, God, I'm not doing this. Are you serious? I grew up in addictive behaviors. I grew up with trauma in my life. I grew up as a child with abuse. I used to get behind the podium after starting my morning with a pot of Jack Daniels and a shot of coffee. And the Holy Spirit on one side saying, God got a purpose and a destiny for your life. And Satan on the other side saying, you biggest hypocrite, you shouldn't sit on that podium with the way that you are. And a life of pain that the church was out of touch with. The church growing up never knew me well enough. And I grew up, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was there Wednesday night. My father was an elder, a teacher, a board member. First Assembly of God, a very rich church in the hub of Akron, Ohio. Nobody ever took the time to find out if I had any pain, if I was confused as a child. Nobody ever knew because the devil will blackmail you. My wife used to say, I don't know if I'm waking up to Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. I said, I don't know what I'll wake up. See, I'm going to be real with you for a moment. I may never see you again. But I came here to talk about the God that is about change, but also the evil and how he manipulates us. How the devil is sly. He's a manipulator. He's sly. He offers you. We just buried two in my church, men. One left six kids, shot a needle of heroin in his arm. That was his way of escape. It's a very selfish way of escape. Another one put a gun 3 months ago to his head and pulled the trigger. The easy way out of escape. Because I want to tell you something, Lucifer, when you live for him, when you serve him, he'll kill you. He'll kill his own. He's not happy. You know why? Because he knows the day Jesus comes into your heart. He knows the day that God restores the life and he brings you back to purpose and destiny and back to the call of God that's on every one of us from our mother's womb. God has inscribed our name on the palm of his hand. Your life is right there. You got gifts and you got purpose and destiny in your life. And it's Satan's agenda to rob that from you. And he'll use trauma. He'll use divorce. He'll use self-esteem. He'll use a past of living in Egypt. And we get born again and we come around church people. And sometimes we think they're judging us. They're looking at us because we can't dress good enough. We don't drive a good enough car. The American church is full sometimes of jealousy and bitterness and anger issues and resentful issues. And there's six things that God hates in Proverbs. Those that lie. Those that spread discourse in the house. But I grew up in a church where they always isolated drinking and drugging and sexing. And the devil was always there to bring condemnation. Nah. I used to set up crusades for David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz in the South Bronx. I want to tell you something. I spent all my life getting free. And I'll spend the rest of my life getting free. We can hide those thoughts. We can hide those traumas. Who likes to talk about sexual abuse? Nobody. Who likes to talk about divorce and you're left feeling that, was it me? Did I do something that dad left? Did I do something that mom left? And the enemy knows how to twist that in the minds of people. And we come up with these ideas. What do you see out there? My God. I see campground meetings. I see opening these windows and smelling pig roast. I see people that the church has forgotten about. Drug addicts don't like to be drug addicts. We were talking yesterday. I was Prophet Frank's wife, Mary Jane, and just sitting around my table, I got three kids. One's 29, one's 26, and one's 22. They're beautiful kids. Go on Tim Klein Facebook. Go on Salt Rock and you'll see my family and church. And they're believing God to bring the right person. And as I get older, I think, geez, man, I want to take my grandkids to the candy store, to the ice cream store. I want to to the healthy ones. I want to spoil them. And I will. And nobody will tell me different. I will. I want to take them out in the boat fishing, camping. And we were talking about, look around. We're doing something. I'm not quite sure what we're doing yet, but we're doing something in our church. But when I was reading this morning, he gave me that, Isaiah 58:6. And we were sitting at their table. They were fasting and doing the Daniel's fast. And I don't know a whole lot about fasting. But when I see that younger generation, brother, I grew up in Pentecostal church. I got Pentecostal Acts 1 in my DNA, but I also understand the devil would like to pervert it. He like to kill you. He like to take your feet out from under you. He wants to make you feel you can't be effective because you think bad things or you got dirty habits or you're doing something that's not always clean. So let's just sit down and do nothing. Well, that's not the answer. So I wanted to, just for a moment, if those bother you, you can close the blinds. It doesn't matter. I just want, God said to tell them to open the blinds and dream. Look what God has blessed. Dream. You know what? This is me. You mentioned Teen Challenge. Brother, I'd have a dorm over there. I'd be shipping in the hardest core. I used to sleep in my Teen Challenge Center with a 357 on my chest at night because I had killers from the South Bronx and New York come in. And I had 18 guys in that house. One night, because they didn't like what we were doing, they firebombed our house. They lit the torches and they threw them through the windows. They called me about 2 a.m. Our place is on fire. They firebombed us. I said, okay, devil, I got my gun out. I went down there. I waited for them to come back. You know, we get in the flesh at times. Forgive me, Jesus, but so did David when Goliath stuck his head out and he whacked it off because he messed with the people of God too much. So I laid on that couch. I had killers upstairs in the bedrooms, and I had firebomb guys driving down the street. I said, God, this is all I have. That's when Pastor Joe was with us. He got on the TV and the radio, and he raised enough money in a week to fix that place back up. Now that Teen Challenge Center is one of the biggest ones in the country. They bought a hospital. They can go up to 100 men.
Wow, praise God.
What do you see? What about your grandkids? We look at the addiction. We look at the sin. We look at the rebellion. No, God said, what do you see? I see the impossible starting to move. I see man, I think, but I see a tree. It's clear. It's not clear. It's not clear. Sometimes our visions get blurred at times. Sometimes people talk and close down visions. What do you see? Would you help me a second? Would you unwind this for me? I need about 3-4 hands. I'm okay. I want to get to a text in a moment. We've been making declarations in our church from the very beginning. We are people. My God, things are starting to happen up there, guys. And I thought, what if I would have put that for sale sign up? Wow. You good there? I want you to sit down in that seat for a moment, if you would. Let me have that in. Just every now and then. Just give me a little push. You know, like you fish?
A little bit, yeah.
You know when those fish start hitting the launch? Every now and then. I won't ask you when, but just give me a little. Just give me a little talk. Oh boy, I got some goodies here, and I'm running out of time. Uh-oh. Yeah, if you can open that up for me. That's a new one. I left my big net. I fish, and I have a big net, and I left it at home, so I ran out. That's pretty cool, huh? You fish, man? Been there, done it. Yeah, that should just.
Well, worked in Walmart.
He broke it. Okay, you fix that while I get to my scripture. See? We got some scripture, right? You move fast and I'll move fast and we'll get through Job 36:8. I asked Pastor John if he would play. He comes up to Newcastle. It just our team, your worship, man, it just ushers it in. He's afraid he's going to choke me.
I'll make it easier on you. Yeah.
Maybe I put that in the wrong hands. I should have talked to the pastor first. Huh? Traumatic events we had talked about. They paralyze us emotionally. A couple are fear of rejection, fear of man, poverty or lack, fear of sickness, sexual or mental abuse, accidents. I got one of my staff members. She had a major car crash years ago. You know, she will not drive in the rain. She won't drive in the snow. Fear, anxiety, the fear that it would happen again. A soul tie. How many of you heard of soul ties? Oh, we're good then. Give me a little slack there. Let me get over my notes. You see the distraction he is? You see it? That's a soul tie in our mind. That's something that we get born again, but sometimes our soul, Old Testament, soul is our mind, our emotions, our intellect. Our emotions have become pickled by trauma. Our emotions become, you know, you could have lost a loved one. And it's a trauma in your life. And you go about life. You go to minister. And all of a sudden, soul tie pops up. It. How many of you feel like that? When you, I'm not good enough to pray. I'm not good enough. God will never love me because of my past. Pulls you. It ties you. Then the other thing he does this a lot in the church. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, you go and I'll read. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut the cords of the affliction. They proud have hid a snare for me, and cords they have spread a net. When they asked me to stay over and preach, first thing that happened was fear. God, I ain't got nothing to say. I got a lot to say. But fear comes over. A net. The enemy would like to put a net. He puts a net over people. You know, in the house of God, sometimes people come in and we look and we cast a net over them. What are they doing here? What are they doing here? They're not good enough. What are they doing here? We don't look at the restoration. We don't look at them through Calvary, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We throw a net of opinion. We throw a net of self-righteous. We throw a net over them. And then the Church of America sometimes goes in the back room and talks about them. And then we wonder why. See, there was many nets put on me growing up. I not only came out of abuse, but learning disadvantage. Sylvan Learning Centers, anybody know about them? Grew up in them. Couldn't understand me. Anger. My God, was I an angry person. My mother and father couldn't understand why I talked to them. Let's go back. Seventh grade before I was done with that. By then, the anger, the resentfulness, the bitterness, the abuse. I was just a walking person ready to spend the rest of my life in prison. And I thought, my God, Lord, are you serious? Are you serious? You really aren't going to call me? Wow. Let's look at some emotions. Negative patterns, trauma leaves us with. Abuse leaves us with. My emotions are always on a roller coaster. You know people like that? I keep thinking negative thoughts about myself. I don't look good enough. I'm out of shape. I'm not pretty enough. Well, what do you think? Those are soul ties. I'll never speak good enough because I never spoke growing up. The pain. You know, the pain equals something to kill the pain. See, the world of addiction. We have all kinds of it in the Church of America. We isolate drug addicts. We isolate alcoholics. You know, I isolate people that spread discord. I isolate people that are religious. I isolate people that are bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, in which Galatians says that those who practice such things don't inherit heaven. A soul tie. It's the enemy pulls at your soul because your soul has been damaged. The Bible says in Isaiah, and I'm almost there. Isaiah, I don't know if I gave you this one. Let me see. Yes, that's it. Did I? But look at verse 12. And they who shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the what? The repairer of the breach. The restorer of paths to dwell in. What do you see out there? Repairer of the breach. What's the breach? When you have a traumatic experience in your life, you have a physical abuse, you've been taken advantage of, the breach is a crack. You ever buy a house? In my business, we buy and flip houses and fix them up. And when the foundation is cracked, that's a bad sign. The banks won't loan money because you got foundational problems. You got to fix it. Or there's a hole. You know, you go up in the attic, you're checking the roof. Do we need a new roof? Do we need new shingles? We go up in the attic, we see this daylight coming through. There's a crack. Somewhere the shingles are messed up. Somewhere the tar paper isn't put on there. So there's an issue because water comes through. Rain comes through. Then they hit the drywall. They hit the ceilings. You got water damage. You know, more plaster, more paint, more labor, more money. The breach is a crack. In the Hebrew, it was a crack in our soul. A hole in our soul. What happens after that? When somebody of Egypt, somebody unrighteous, somebody living in sin, comes in and abuses a person, it leaves a breach. It leaves a crack. It leaves a hole. One of my staff members, several of my staff members, you know, for the anorexia person, when you eat and you put your finger down your throat, it's a control issue. I'm in control of my life. Am I right? I'm in control. Wait a minute. The normal mind can't process it. How can you be in control? Because there was a breach. There was a crack. And at that point of time, the devil comes in with his solution. It could be a drug. It could be sex. It could be porno. It could be anorexia. It could be eating habits. It could be bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife. All of his agenda. Well, we don't like to go there. Our minds don't like to go back to abusive situations. So we have to numb it. That's all we know. That's all we know. We have to numb the pain so we can go to work. We have to numb the pain so we can get up and preach a gospel. They don't talk about things like that. You can't talk about it or they'll kick you out. That's the church. They'll kick you out. You're not worthy enough. So I'll stand down here then. If I have a past like that, I'm not worthy enough to be up there. I'll stand down here. Jesus at Calvary. That's what the blood, that's what mercy, that's what grace is about. Your money can't buy it. Your power can't. Your influence can't. It's a free gift. Jesus died for every abusive person. He died for every person going through trauma. He died for everybody that's been abused. He died for every addictive person in this world. But there needs to be a church that will trust. What do you see? I see trees right now. No, I don't. I see hurting people. I see an area where the repairer of the breach, where men and women of God can operate, where fivefold can just send people into this ground to bring about ministries. It's a Walmart area. Where can you go to buy tires for your car and salami for a sandwich for the week? Buy a hat, a pair of underwear, some deodorant, and shaving cream. Where can you buy that at? You can't. The Church of Jesus Christ has it all in this house. You have the gifts. And I pray God to stir up the gifts within this house, within my church, with every church of America, and give us men and women of God that's going to say, here, honey, you got the call, you go out and cook the pig. You ride a Harley, you go tell the Harley guys they're welcome that day. Free food. People love free food. She handles clothes. Bring them. Bring in the trucks of clothes. Feed. Jesus said, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. Jesus said, when you do it to one of these, you do it to me. I didn't ask to end up in Crack Alley building a church. But I can tell you, you guys have eaten from one of the greatest chefs that struggles with crack. He's one of my sons. You know how painful it is when the accuser always pulls him back? Does God love him 100%? Does he still one of the greatest evangelists? Absolutely. But the cord, the soul ties are strong. The repairer of the breach, the hole in the soul, the crack in our soul, our emotions, our intellect. And we're just talking about soul ties. We haven't got the generational curses. We're victims because of our fathers and our grandfathers, their lifestyle. And those spirits will come right down and they'll get into the minds of children. They'll get into your mind and you'll find out, geez, I'm cursed. Why? Because generational curse. We have to break. We have to cut the cords. We have to stop putting nets on people and letting nets be put on us by the enemy. We have to understand, enemy, yeah, there was a day when I was abused. Enemy, there was a day when I drank because that was all I knew to cover the pain. But today, cut the cords. The pain of the past has to be healed by Jesus' blood. There's no doctors. They'll put you on medication, 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 and more medication. Because that's all they know how to cover someone's pain. I sat in an office when I was young. I was a youth pastor. My senior pastor came. We got the call one afternoon. He was abused as a child. Sexual abuse. He was on medication. Got the call, Pastor Joe. Three babies. Just put a shotgun under his throat in the church office and pulled the trigger. We had over 500 pastors come to that funeral, and all of them was wondering what happened. Trauma. The wife. The devil. He's an accuser of the brother. The Bible says he comes to rob. He comes to kill. And he comes to destroy purpose, destiny. He comes to destroy vision in the house of God. What do you see? Man, I don't only see, I feel birth pains up here. I know that feeling. Because I've lived it through the last 20 years in Newcastle. I've lived it when not a penny came in the offering, to where people learn what it is to be blessed by giving to God. The soul tie in your mind, where are you at today? What's hindering you? I got so much, but no time. Nets or nooses? Nooses afflict our soul and are soul tied to a traumatic area of our life. And Jesus can break those soul ties. See, growing up in the church, we thought, come to the altar, we'll lay hands and pray on you, and everything is perfect. It never worked like that for me. Satan still had a claw. He still has soul ties. My mind was so tied to traumatic situations growing up as a child. I got more prayer. But guess what? One night, a lot of things happened in my life. My only way of escape was to... I'll never forget this. I know the parking lot. I know the vehicle I was in. And that particular day, as I cried out to God, it was like, and I have a witness. I have a witness. It was my wife. She was next to me. He showed up in the back seat of my car. He put his hand right here on his shoulder. And in a moment, he brought healing, restoration, forgiveness. Then I met these guys. I didn't know. I didn't have pastor friends like these guys. I didn't know what a prophet was. These guys spoke. I used to write down all their notes. And God's brought them all to pass. Now I'm looking for some new notepads, new purpose, new vision in my life, in the ministry, in my family. You know what? If I could tell you anything, each one of you in here today, God loves you all. He died for you. He died for your sin. He died for your addiction. He died for all the things that the devil accuses you of. And all he wants to do is love you. All he wants to do is love you. There's two voices. One voice leads us to victory. Another voice comes to delay, to steal, to rob your purpose and your destiny. He comes to make you believe that trees can't move. Vision, purpose is stagnant. He uses the circumstances and the people around us. God does this. He steals you. The devil torments you. God reassures you, and the devil threatens you. God leads you, and the devil pushes you. God enlightens you, and the devil confuses you. God forgives you, and the devil condemns you. God calms you, and the devil stresses you. God encourages you, and the devil discourages you. God comforts you, and the devil worries you. We were talking yesterday, the generation, my kids are part of that generation. They're not quite sure where they fit in. They fit into the old Pentecostal church. They fit into, where do they fit in? My church is a lot just like this. When my three kids are home, they're in my church. You know what? Mary Jane, I just want to tell you. We were sitting at the table. I couldn't. The nerve, the vein of the Holy Spirit, I was weeping. Because the church got to reach a generation that we don't know how to reach. We got to reach a generation. My kids, sometimes they love me, they love the church, but sometimes I feel they come out of respect for me. There's not a lot of college, there's not a lot of young adults in my church. I got a lot of other stuff in there. But see, that's my heart because that's my kids. So I'm praying, God, what are we going to do? And I don't know yet. I don't know, but God's got to raise up something for them. They're not addicts. They've been raised in a household of faith. We need so many ministries. We need people that God has given purpose, a plan, a vision to. I'm praying that God starts 20 more new ministries this year in my church. And I'm not going to be part of any of them. I got enough on my platter that I do. But God, give me 20 people that will say, you know, I don't know how to do it. All I'm going to say is, you got the faith? Come on, let's do it. Because I don't know what God's going to do. If I counted on people and pastors all my life, they told me my hair was long, came out of the hippie times, 3-inch platforms, a big long shag, psychedelic went to church every day and slept in the back pew. But the conviction, I couldn't get away from the conviction and the call at about 8 years old. God said, one day I'm going to use you. I said, God, come on. Use my father. He's spiritual. Use my brother. He's smarter. And I would laugh. I only went to church out of respect for my father. Hated it. Hated pastors. You guys couldn't relate to me. You guys never came on my turf. I was a jock. I was a party animal. You guys never came. That's what's out there. We ain't going. The Church of America is not going to where the problem is. Let's just stand. Father, I declare today every soul tie that hinders the purpose and the plan for the people of God. Lord, I declare today that you at your seat, even now, begin to say the prayer and declare life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we declare freedom in this house today. In the name of Jesus, we declare freedom. We're born again. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare today breakthrough. We declare today that you would give us vision and purpose and destiny. God, we declare today what the enemy has meant for evil. Lord, that we curse and we break that in the name of Jesus. When Jesus showed up, demons have to flee. When Jesus shows up, addictions have to go. When Jesus shows up, demonic spirits have to bow at that name of Jesus. So today, oh God, I pray and we declare as a church of Jesus Christ, oh God, victory in this church. We declare victory in our businesses. We declare victory in our life. Oh God, we declare whatever you connected yourself with, whatever demonic familiar spirits you've left into your life or into your heart, in the name of Jesus, they have to flee. You have to declare that today. Whatever uncontrolled appetites, whatever uncontrolled spirits, in the name of Jesus, you have to depart from our soul, from our mind. Every soul tie, break it today in the name of Jesus. Every addiction today, oh God, bring it to the minds and to the souls of your people. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we break the power of soul ties. God, we break the power of addiction. God, on our kids, on our grandkids, on our husbands, and on our wives. Today, oh God, in the name that's above all names, in the name of Jesus. God, for this city, for this community, oh God, we want to see trees walk. We want to see lives come back to the house. Hold of God. Father, I break the curse on husbands that aren't here today. Father, on wives that aren't here today. Lord, on those sitting at home today, drinking their six packs and hating themselves, thinking that God don't love me. Father, I break that soul tie. God, where they're at today in their home, let the Holy Spirit flood their living room. As they're watching TV right now, God, let the Holy Ghost get into their DNA and let the Holy Ghost love them and forgive them and heal them. God, they're no different than we are. We just have allowed the Holy Spirit to stop pimping us out. Declare, God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places. The sower, he sows seed. Farmers, they put their seed in the ground. And they don't go back and they don't dig it up. to see if it's, to see if any growth is coming. The sower sows seed, and he believes in Mother Nature that in a few weeks and a few months that the tomato plants, the corn, the herbs, because Mother Nature is natural. How much more to believe the God of nature when we sow our seed, when we sow our time, when we sow our prayers, when we sow our fast. We don't go back and question it. We know God is doing some fertilization. He knows God is killing the seed so that growth can come. We know that it's settled. It's already settled in your life. It's already settled in your unsaved ones. It's already settled in your kids messing around with drugs. The prayer has already been settled. It's settled in our life. The chains are going to be broken soon. And victory is going to come. Why? Because God promised it to his church. God said, I'm coming back for my church. And it's going to be spotless. It's going to be his bride. God loves you. It's hard. God loves me. It's hard because of everything I've done to believe that God can still love me. But he loves me because I understand Calvary. I understand I can't buy it. I can't earn it. I can't work for it. It's a free gift. You just got to accept it. God loves you today. And God wants to heal and break. If you want prayer for anything, as he ministers, let's conclude this day. If you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with soul ties, if you've had traumatic times in your life, I want to tell you something. If God didn't set me free, my childhood would have killed me, or I would have killed somebody else and been in prison. The bitterness, the anger, the resentfulness of life. And I didn't even ask for it. Somebody trespassed into my life and created a breach. And the devil brought Jack Daniels down. Here, drink your pain away. Here, drink it. And that became a lifestyle for me. You know how many people do that? You know how much pain is in the world? Come on, the Church of America has got to get out to where reality's at. They're in pain out there. They're medicated to the hilt out there. They're only doing what they know to do.
That's right.
Lord, the devil's such a liar. Amen. If you want prayer, you come.
Ronnie.
We'll pray for you in closing today.
You
confess your freedom at your seat. I'm free. I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. Devil, you don't belong in my household no more. Satan, in the name of Jesus, you have to flee. In the name of Jesus. I'm not embarrassed no more of my past. I'm excited because somebody needs to hear what God did in my life. And if I can influence one person before I die, 10 people before I die, 100 or 1,000, I'm not ashamed of my life.